Our Father, we thank you for the blessings of this service. We thank you for the music, for the way it speaks to us of you, that lifts our hearts and draws our thoughts toward our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would help us as we look into your word tonight. We come to the scriptures, and there are so many things here that are needful for us to consider, needful for us to learn, but these things won't happen apart from you doing them. And so we pray that your Spirit would be our teacher tonight, and that we would allow him to teach us and to show us the things of Christ, to remind us again of the great love wherewith you loved us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometime in messages we mention and talk about things, and then after we're done, I guess maybe you could call it a post-mortem. maybe that's not the best word, but I know a lot of people go to sleep during the messages. I put my grandchildren to sleep. So, but after we're done, we think back and we wonder if the things that were said didn't need more background sort of information. Recently, we've been studying in what I believe is one of the richest spiritual veins in all of the Word of God. And that's here in the book of 1 Samuel, and looking at the lives of Saul and Jonathan and David. This morning we were talking about Saul, and we saw in his rash and unreasonable behavior a picture of ourselves, a picture of how this old nature that lives within us, even after we're saved, works in our lives and can rob us of the treasures and the riches that were won on our behalf on the cross of Calvary. And as we've talked about Saul, we've mentioned in a couple of messages, maybe three messages, about in 1 Samuel chapter 13, about how Saul's disobedience in taking it upon himself to go into the office of the priest, how that cost him the kingdom. And we've looked at that from the standpoint of separation of church and state. But tonight I want us to look at it from a little different angle, and I want us to think about why what Saul did there was such a serious thing for him to do. I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Here in this chapter, we have the events that lead up to Saul's anointing as king of Israel. And there's an incident here as part of that, and a word that we want to think about that gives us the background as to why what Saul did in 1 Samuel chapter 13 was so serious. And at the same time, this one word brings before our minds the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read it, 1 Samuel 9 and verse 22. And Samuel took Saul and his servant. Now, as a little background, Saul has come to the place where Samuel is, and he's asking after the seer, and he's told that he's coming today. There's a sacrifice of the people. And as soon as he comes to the city, then you're going to be able to find him, and you'll be able to go up to the high place to eat, because the people won't eat until he comes. And so in verse 22, Samuel has come, and he says to Saul, or he brings Saul and his servant into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. And Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. The word that we want to notice here is the word shoulder in verse 24. Sometimes it's good for us to be reminded that every word of God is important. Every word of God. We know that because the Lord said in Deuteronomy 8:3, man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. The Lord Jesus repeated those words in Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God's emphasis is on every word. He hasn't put any unnecessary words in this book. Even the smallest word of detail that we find here, it's here not to improve the readability or to add some kind of entertainment value to the passage that we're reading. It's here because in every word, God is conveying an eternal message. Instead of giving us the detail here of the word shoulder, I was thinking he could have used the words saved if he had just said in verse 24, and the cook took up that which was upon, that which had been brought in or set aside, and brought it and set it before Saul. He could have given us that, told us that. And he could have used the words saved to put his own name here, to put his own name somewhere else in the Bible. This is a limited book. Space is precious in this book. But in this passage, God has, as it were, magnified the word shoulder above all his name. So it's of great significance when the Lord tells us what the portion of meat was that Samuel had the cook to set aside. The shoulder. The shoulder is a place of strength in the Bible. And we find the shoulder associated with several things that require strength. Bearing burdens, sacrifice, government, redemption. The immediate association here is that of sacrifice. And sacrifice draws our minds to the priests and the priesthood. One of the things that we need to remember about Samuel is that he was a priest. We learn from 1 Chronicles chapter 6 that Elkanah, Samuel's father, and thus Samuel were descendants of Kohath, the son of Levi. Sometime we might allow Samuel's office of judge and prophet to overshadow the fact that he was a priest. Not the only priest in Israel at this time. But certainly, I don't think it would be wrong to say that he was the chief priest, even though that term is not used here. But we do learn in verse 12 of this chapter that Samuel had come to the city because there was a sacrifice of the people. And the wording of verse 13 suggests something of Samuel's prominence among the priests of Israel. We read in verse 13, "The people will not eat until he," that is Samuel, "come, because he doth bless the sacrifice. And afterwards they eat that be bidden." So Samuel's position and presence as a priest were important to these people. And it is to this sacrifice of the people that Samuel brings Saul. In verse 23, we read that Samuel had given this cook instructions concerning a specific portion of meat that he was to set aside. And in verse 24, we learned that the portion was the shoulder. Now, it's important to note that this portion of meat belonged to Samuel. He said to the cook in verse 23, "Bring the portion of meat which I gave thee." Which I gave thee. The only way that you can give something away, unless you're in the government, the only way that you can give something away is if it belongs to you. This shoulder belonged to Samuel. And I want us to see the significance of the shoulder here in the Word of God. Turn back to Leviticus chapter 7 for just a minute. Leviticus chapter 7. Leviticus chapter 7, and let's read it verse 28. Leviticus 7 and verse 28. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, He that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hand shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire, the fat with the breast, it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. And the right shoulder shall ye give unto the priest for an heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part." So in these verses we learn that a particular shoulder, the right shoulder, belonged to the priest, and specifically to the priest that offered the blood of the peace offerings. So Samuel, as a priest, would be entitled to the right shoulder if he had been the priest that had offered the blood of the peace offerings, as we see there in verse 33. But God gives us some detail in 1 Samuel chapter 9. Let's go back there, if you will. The Lord gives us some detail there that is very important. The Lord tells us in verse 13 that Samuel was not there to offer the sacrifice. He was there to bless the sacrifice. Now, I'd like to suggest a thought to you. It's just a thought. But that means that Samuel was not entitled to the right shoulder, because he was not, in this case, the priest that offered the blood of the peace offerings. He was there to bless the offering. But the Lord tells us in verse 24, when he identifies the portion of meat that belonged to Samuel, that it was a shoulder. So if he didn't get the right shoulder, then he must have gotten the left shoulder. Now, that's important. And this is such a leads us in such a blessed path that to me is just amazing. To receive the left shoulder was also, as we see here, a designation of honor. And for Samuel to have received this left shoulder was an acknowledgement of his place in Israel. And again, I would remind you of Samuel's unique place in Israel. His unique ministry before the Lord. He was a priest, he was a judge, he was a prophet. Samuel was the man through whom God received the sacrifices of the people. He was there to bless the sacrifice. He was the man through whom God judged the people of Israel. He was the man through whom God communicated with the people. Samuel was, in effect, the government. He was, in effect, the government. He was the man that the Lord was working through. And so when he put Saul in the chiefest place, that was his place. When Samuel gave Saul the shoulder, that was his portion. And symbolically, I believe that what Samuel is doing is passing to Saul the place of government. The place of government. And this is where which shoulder becomes important. I believe it was the left shoulder that Samuel gave to Saul. Saul couldn't receive the right shoulder. Why? He wasn't a priest. He wasn't from the tribe of Levi. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He could not offer the blood of the peace offerings. And so by giving Saul this left shoulder, Samuel is not turning over the priesthood to him. He's turning over the government to him. Saul could receive the left shoulder, the shoulder of government, but not the right shoulder, the shoulder of priesthood. Now, turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 13. We've looked at this passage, but I want us to see it again tonight, because very plainly here, we're going to see the problem, the difference in these two shoulders. The Philistines have come up against Israel. We were talking this morning how they came up with 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. Look at verse 6 here in chapter 13. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, and the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. Whenever I read that, I always think about, I heard somebody say this, I wish I could remember who it was. I'd give them credit for it. But they said, it's always too soon to stop waiting on the Lord. It's always too soon to stop waiting on the Lord. Just as soon as Saul offers the burnt offering, Samuel came. How many times in our lives, if we had just waited, just a little longer, the Lord would have come with the answer. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. Now look at verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly, Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. Here Saul takes upon himself something that God never gave him. He takes upon himself the right shoulder of the priesthood. God gave him the left shoulder, not the right. God gave him the government, not the priesthood. You see, Saul made a mistake that you and I make. Saul confused position and privilege. Folks, position does not give privilege. Position does not give license. Our position as believers, our position as children of God, does not give us the privilege, the license to live and do as we please. That's why Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Peter says to believers in 1 Peter 2:16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. That word maliciousness is a very strong word. It means wickedness that is not ashamed to break laws. It means evil. Peter is telling us that we are not to use the liberty that we have in Christ as a cloak, as a covering, as a pretext, as an excuse for living wickedly the way that we want to live in defiance of the law of God. Peter goes on to tell us, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, he goes on to tell us that we're to live as the servants of God. That's how Saul was to live. But he didn't. He used his position as a cloak to unashamedly break the law of God. And what he did is no little thing. It cost him the kingdom. Saul sinned by presuming to take the right shoulder when God had only given him the left. His sin, I believe, and our understanding of it ties directly back to an understanding of the significance of the shoulder. And we might wonder in our minds why the shoulder is so important. What is it that is so important to God about the shoulder? Well, it's one of his symbols. It's one of his symbols, and God is very jealous of his symbols. He's very faithful to his symbols throughout his word. He's consistent in his treatment and in his use of them all through this book. There's an example. This is an example here in 1 Samuel 9:24. The shoulder, singular, one shoulder, and I believe the left one, is associated with government. Now, there's another place where we can see the consistency of the Word of God. I'd like for you to turn over to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. I'm going to read a verse. A Christmas verse. You know, I was thinking how exciting it is that within a month, we're going to have the Christmas cantata and the Easter cantata. I think that's just great. We don't have to wait a whole year between them. But this is a Christmas verse, Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Notice the wording here. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Not shoulders, plural, but shoulder, singular. In perfect harmony with what took place, what we were reading about back in 1 Samuel 9. When God was ready to anoint the first king of Israel, when he was ready to set a man at the head of the government of his people, he designated that man by giving him the shoulder. When he wishes to tell us plainly and clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the first thing he tells us, the first thing he does is to designate him as the one on whose shoulder the government of the world is going to be. And notice verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God has given the government of this world to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be a government that knows no bounds. There is no end to it. It is going to be an eternal government. The product of that government will be ever-increasing, never-ending peace. It will be a government of perfect order, a perfect judgment, a perfect justice for all eternity. You know, that's something as we look at our very corrupt and wicked government that we just can't grasp. We just don't have the strength of mind to fully comprehend what that really means. We're looking forward to that day. But think about this. All of the things about this government that we're reading about, all of these things that are so incredible, the increase of it, the judgment and the justice of it, all of that, listen, all of that requires only one of God's shoulders. Just one. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Folks, the work of perfect world government is a light thing to God. It takes, I believe, only his left shoulder. The task of ruling Israel would have been a light thing for Saul if he had done it in the strength and within the bounds of the one shoulder that God gave him. That brings us back again to the seriousness of Saul's sin in 1 Samuel chapter 13. Saul took to himself both shoulders, the left and the right. God gave him the left shoulder of government. Saul took to himself the right shoulder of the priesthood. And that's serious because the left and right shoulders, the government and the priesthood, come together in only one person. And that is God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. They come together in a way that is most wonderful to think about. In a way that is eternally glorious and beneficial for you and me. I'd like for you to turn over to Luke chapter 15, if you will. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and we want to read at verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. We're going to notice again what the Lord Jesus said in verse 5. And when he hath found it, the lost sheep, he layeth it on his shoulders. Shoulders, plural. Rejoicing. We're reading here about something that requires not one shoulder, but both of God's shoulders. The work of government requires only one shoulder. The work of redemption required both shoulders. And it's like that because redemption cost God everything. It required all of his strength. This morning we were talking about Psalm 22, the Psalm of the Crucifixion. And we read there concerning the Lord Jesus, I am poured out like water. I am poured out like water. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. A potsherd is a broken piece of pottery. That's why the Lord Jesus said, I'm poured out like water. Redemption required both shoulders. It required the shedding of the blood of God. It cost God his life to save sinners like me and like you. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we see both the shoulders of God. We see the left and the right. We see God's government and God's priesthood. God's government requires the judgment of sin. God's government requires the judgment of sin. The wages of sin is death. Death is the penalty for all who transgress the law of God. For all who are in rebellion against the government of God. And that's every one of us. Romans 3:23 says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person who has ever lived is in rebellion against the government of God and is under the sentence of death. But praise be to God, there's another shoulder. The right shoulder. And in that shoulder we see the priestly work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He took upon himself a body of flesh, the form of a servant. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's the perfect high priest. And here's what the only person who could be what he is. The perfect high priest. And at the same time, he was the sinless, spotless, perfect Lamb of God. He was the priest and the sacrifice. And in the strength of that right shoulder, the priest and the sacrifice, he took upon himself the left shoulder of the government of God. All the judgment of God against our sin that had to be satisfied. 2 Corinthians 5:21, For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And as the priest and the sacrifice, he presented himself, he waved himself as the right shoulder for a wave offering before the Lord. We don't have time to turn to it, but you can read about that offering in Leviticus 9 and verse 21. The right shoulder for a wave offering before the Lord. And because God the Father was satisfied, because he was satisfied, because the left shoulder of the government and justice of God was satisfied as the Lord Jesus bore our sins, as he was the priest and the sacrifice, that sacrifice was accepted. One of my favorite verses in all of the Word of God is Romans chapter 3 and verse 26. Paul summarizes the shoulders of God in that verse. He said there that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Think about it. That he might be just. That's the left shoulder of God's government. And the justifier. That's the right shoulder of priesthood and sacrifice. And together, these shoulders, the left and the right, come together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And together these shoulders have the strength, these shoulders are sufficient to uphold every sinner who believeth in Jesus. You know, it's interesting to me. Look back again at Luke 15 and verse 5. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he takes it off his shoulders and calleth together his friends and neighbors. It doesn't say that, does it? Verse 5, he layeth it on his shoulders. There's no mention that he ever took it off. No mention that he ever took it off. That's the strength to uphold every sinner. Every person who turns to the Lord Jesus Christ. In repentance and faith, he puts us on his shoulders and he bears us up. The question is, have you trusted him as your Savior? That's the question. You can trust him tonight right where you are. And he will lay you on his shoulders rejoicing. Rejoicing. And one day, he will present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Do you know him tonight? And if we do know him, let's rest in him. Let's rejoice in him. As we're on his shoulders, we're in the safest place that we could ever be for all eternity. Our Father, we thank you for this amazing book. We thank you that all through this book you put the message of the gospel. You put the message of the cross. You put the message of how Christ died for our sins. That he was buried and that he rose again the third day. What a blessed thought to think tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. We thank you that we're on his shoulders tonight if we know you as our Savior. We pray that we would rest in that tonight. And Father, we pray that you would speak to any here who may not know you, that tonight they would see their need to trust you. And you alone. There is salvation in no other. There's none other name given among men, none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. So we pray that you would just work in our hearts tonight to convict, to comfort, to bring rejoicing, to bring peace. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.